Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne. You are listening to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. Today's case is going to be another case about mean girls. And I know I do that a lot, but those are the cases that I am drawn to. And this is also a case that involves family. And the only reason that this case ever sees justice is because of family. You know I love that. So today we will be discussing the case of Stacy DeGrandchamp. So in case you couldn't hear that voicemail said, "Hey Rita, this is Brandon Muff. I'm over here at Guthrie and Thompson. Stacy is here. She's injured. The ambulance is here." So that voicemail was for Rita, and Rita is Stacy DeGrandchamp's mother. So imagine getting that voicemail from your daughter's ex-boyfriend. His name is Brandon Muff. They are not dating anymore. And Rita receives this voicemail and rushes over to the hospital to figure out what is going on. So let's go back and start at the beginning. Stacy DeGrandchamp was born October 29th, 1984, and her family describes her as an outgoing, energetic, athletic child. She loved people. They say she had a love for people. She was an only child, and she was very, very close to her cousins because they sort of formed this sister-like bond since Stacy was an only child. Stacy was very popular in high school. She was gorgeous, beautiful. She had many friends and she hung with, you know, the cool girls. That just made me sound really old. Hung with the cool girls. So Stacy is in this clique of these really popular girls and she has a bit of a situation that's going on inside of this little clique. So Stacy is friends with a girl named Holly Boysvert. And of the girls in this clique, Holly is the, Holly's the tough girl. Holly's the one you all want to watch out for. You do not get on Holly's bad side, because if you do, she's going to make life a little bit harder for you. When I think of Holly, I imagine what I would picture as my time period. And so don't take offense to this if you wear these pants. But when I was, you know, growing up in middle school and junior high and high school, the girls that were like the tough girls that you know that like do not mess with them because they will kick your ass in an instant. They were the kind of girls that would wear like the Cookie Monster, like furry pants, like pajama pants to school. They would be wearing like furry Cookie Monster pajama pants with like a cigarette in one hand and kind of like slicked back ponytail. That was the bitch that you're like, yo, do not go near that girl. Try to be her friend at all costs. So I'm imagining that this is the type of person that Holly is in this clique, but probably dresses a little better. But still the same, you know, persona, like still the same energy coming at you. Along with Stacy and Holly, there are two other girls in this clique, and their names are Amanda Richards and Whitney McGee. And these are all the popular girls. So pretty soon, Stacy starts dating a boy named Brandon Muff. Now everything's going great, everything's fine, except that Holly used to date Brandon Muff. So there is going to obviously be some tension right now. I mean, that's a given. I don't have to tell you that Holly is mad pissed about this. And so she makes it clear and obvious that she's pissed at Stacy. And she tries to, like, drive a rift into the friend group. She's trying to get, you know, Whitney to be upset with Stacy or Amanda to be upset. You know how it happens. It's like if you're in a little clique and you're of high school age and you are upset with someone in the clique, you're gonna, like, emphasize or exaggerate everything that the girl that you don't like did to make the other girls also not like her. Well, at least this is what Holly does. So Holly is full force, you know, trying to get Whitney against Stacy. And the reason Whitney is upset is because she hears a rumor that Stacy told her boyfriend that Whitney had a crush on another guy. So now Whitney's boyfriend is upset with her, and Whitney is upset with Stacy, and Holly is just super stoked. This is her chance. Now she can pull Whitney in, and now she can form this bond with Whitney, and they can just collectively hate Stacy. See, Holly's that type of girl that's like a ride or die friendship. Like, if I hate someone, then you hate them too. And if you don't hate them, then I hate you. It's so ridiculous, but it's how it works when you are in high school and you are a part of a clique like this. Sarah Patterson was a classmate of all of the girls. She went to the same high school, and she actually made a comment saying that as an outsider looking in, you could tell that Stacy was definitely in the wrong group of friends. And you know what? Stacy starts feeling the same way, and that is awesome. So Stacy is like, you know what? This isn't for me. I am about to be a senior in high school. I have my eyes set on college. I want to major in computer programming. I do not want to deal with this type of drama anymore. I'm out. Goodbye, Brandon. Goodbye, Holly. Goodbye, Whitney. Okay, that was another voicemail. That was from Whitney, and I know it's really hard to understand and hear it, but you can tell from, you know, the tone of her voice and stuff, so I just wanted you to be able to hear it. But what she is saying is, Stacy, this is Whitney. You need to stop telling lies. You need to get a hold of me. Otherwise, some people are looking for you. Okay. At this point, Stacy is now hanging out with a new friend whose name is Abby Oswald. So Abby and Stacy are starting to become pretty close. But the thing is, and this is a little bit where I would be like, I can't be hanging out with you. Abby is one of Brandon's BFFs. So there is a day that Abby and Stacy decide that they're going to go hang out at the mall. This is August 15th, 2002. You know, school is about to start, and Stacy is telling Abby that she wants to pick out a new outfit for her senior pictures that she's going to have taken soon. So they're at the mall, they find a new outfit, they're having a great time. Brandon calls Abby and tells him that he's having a party that night, and Abby is come on, we gotta go, Stacy, we gotta go to this party. And Stacy is like, dude, like, I just broke up with Brandon, this is not my scene. I don't know who's going to be there. I don't know if Holly's going to be there, Whitney. And Abby just keeps pushing and pushing. It's like, Abby's the type of friend that would really get on my nerves, because if I say no to something, don't keep asking me to go because I said no. But you know, they're teenagers, and Stacy's like, what the hell? Let's go to this party. We're already driving around. Let's go. Abby and Stacy arrive at Brandon's house around 9:30 p.m. Abby drives up the driveway, and the moment they get up to the porch, Stacy gets out of the car and she says, "Why is she here?" She's talking about Holly. So what has just happened is that Abby and Stacy have arrived. Brandon is sitting on his front porch steps with Holly. And it doesn't take very long for Holly and Stacy to just immediately get into it. So They're going at it with words at first, and then a fight just erupts. And everyone at the party is just standing around and watching this fight happen. So, by all accounts, Stacy was kicking Holly's ass. Like, I'm talking kicking her, punching her, you know, really getting at her. And there was even a point where Stacy is now on top of Holly. So the crowd can see, you know, Stacy's on top. And Brandon is like, okay, I'm going to get her off of her, off of Holly. So Brandon runs over. He pulls Stacy off from the back, like grabs her by her shirt. And he kind of throws her to the side. And she lands next to some recycling bins on the side of the house. But Stacy gets up, and the crowd of people say that they can see her just start kind of staggering over towards Abby's car, like she just wants to get in the passenger seat and go home. But she's almost kind of walking just a little off. It looks like something's wrong. And as she gets to the passenger side of the car, she falls to the ground. Brandon runs over. He picks her up, and as he's holding her in his arms, it appears like she's having a seizure, but he looks down and Brandon sees that Stacy's shirt is just covered in blood. And it's at this point that the police are called, an ambulance is called, and they take Stacy to the hospital. And that is where we started in the beginning of this story, Brandon calling Stacy's mother, Rita, to tell her Stacy's at the hospital and nobody understands what happened. Now, nobody understands what happened is crazy to me. And let me tell you right now that this case ends up being a cold case that isn't solved for almost 17 years. Here's the deal. Stacy has been now admitted into the hospital, and what they say happened was that she had a sharp force injury. She had a stab wound to her upper chest and then a second stab wound to her abdomen area. The first stab wound was kind of like in her breast area. Stacy's mother has just arrived to the hospital, and she is immediately greeted by the staff, who tell her that her daughter has passed away. Absolutely the most horrifying nightmare for a mother, and immediately a homicide investigation is opened. Now, the police are obviously going to start back at the party and get everyone that was at that party and ask them what happened. Why did this girl have two stab wounds to her? And Holly is interrogated because she was the one that was in the physical altercation with Stacy. Holly says, I never stabbed her. And the police are like, these two stab wounds were made with a knife, nothing else. But Brandon and Holly will continue to insist that when Brandon pulled Stacy off of Holly and shoved her over towards the recycling bins, that she must have hit some broken glass. Some broken glass must have gotten her twice. I mean, that's an absolutely ridiculous story. So Holly's in her interrogation, and she's claiming that she never even fought back. She's claiming that she couldn't, and she is quoted as saying, at that point, she, meaning Stacy, was kicking me so hard in my head that I couldn't see. And then Holly says, I never had a knife, and keeps, you know, insinuating maybe Stacy fell on glass at the recycling bins. And you know what I love? I always love when there's a suspect who's giving their own, you know, input on how something could have happened. It's almost like one of the top five things that makes you look guilty right away. Witnesses to the fight are also interviewed, and according to some court documents, one witness told police that Holly warned people at the party before Stacy got there. She warned them that she was going to be taking an ass whipping that night. While Brandon is being interviewed by police, he is quoted as saying, the fight needed to stop, so I stepped in and grabbed Stacy by her ankle, not realizing how hard I was pulling on her. And she basically got thrown behind me into the recycling bin and all the stuff that was on the ground. Again, insinuating that Stacy was cut by these shards of glass. So The police are obviously going to be, you know, looking through the house. They get a search warrant. They're looking through the house. They're looking through the backyard. They're obviously going to look at the recycling bins. And guess what? There was no glass in those recycling bins. The police took photos. There was no glass on the ground. Nothing sharp around at all. These were knife wounds, but they couldn't find a knife. So the police have no weapon, the police have no witness, because not one person from that party would say that they saw Holly stab Stacy. They saw the fight, and they'll all admit that, but not one person saw Holly stab Stacy twice. So this is going to be a huge issue. Holly and Brandon are released, and the investigation remains open. On August 19th, 2002, Stacy DeGrandchamp would be buried in her senior outfit that she went shopping for the day that she was murdered. Teachers, coaches, classmates all show up to Stacy's funeral, and the one person that everyone had eyes on at this funeral was Brandon. No one wanted Brandon at this funeral, and rumors start spreading through the school, through the town. Everyone is on the same page. They all think that Stacy was tricked to come to this party so that Holly could hurt her. She was led into a trap. So who led her into that trap? Abby? Brandon? Holly? In my opinion, it was all three. But that's just my, you know, speculation on this whole thing. I have a feeling that, you know, Brandon was like, Abby, get her to come to this party. I don't think Abby knew this was going to go down, but, you know, she probably just thought Brandon wanted to get back together with Stacy, having no idea Holly's going to be there. Was Brandon the ringleader? Do you think that Brandon liked that Stacy and Holly were fighting over him? Do you think that Brandon was upset that Stacy broke up with him and wanted nothing to do with him? Did he get off on these two girls fighting for his love? It's really scary to think about from any angle, from the angle of Brandon doing this, of Abby being a part of it. It's just so deceptive and manipulative and awful and scary. You know, Stacy's just trying to get on with her life. Meanwhile, there's this whole drama going on. She has no idea. So the entire school is like, hell no. Holly definitely stabbed her. Holly definitely killed Stacy. And nobody wants to hang out with Holly anymore. Nobody wants anything to do with her. Not even Amanda or Whitney anymore. They're kind of like, dude, this is bad. What you did is horrible. So the whole town knows what happened, but Holly's not in trouble. Holly's still free. Holly's living her life, and so is Brandon. These are just all rumors, but people believe it to be true, but still, nobody is talking. Now, one person from that party has come forward and said they saw anything. That is until August 26th, when Brandon's roommate, Justin Troop, comes forward and is now a very credible witness to what happened. So, Justin says that he was the one that actually tried to break up the fight, and that Brandon said, no, you let them fight. And Justin said that Brandon said to him, just tell them that Holly didn't do anything and that Stacy just fell. Now, months go by again. It is now December 12th, 2002. Stacy was murdered in August of 2002. So now in December, Brandon is brought back in for another interview and he refuses to talk. He says to them, I am no snitch and I didn't see Holly with a knife. And that's it. Nothing else happens. And at this point, months go by, years go by, a decade goes by, 17 years go by. There's been no justice for Stacy, nothing. And this seems like it should be a pretty easy, you know, quick case to solve. But for some reason, it went cold. And now this is the part that I love. It's 2019, and Jamie McMillan, who is Stacy's cousin, she decides, no, I refuse to let this case die. Stacy is not going to get any justice unless I do something. So Jamie McMillan and her badass self goes to Detective Brian Martin from the Fort Wayne Police Department. And she tells him, listen, we're going to reopen this case. We need to talk. And she thought that if she could talk to Brandon, Holly, Abby, and Amanda at this point in life, that she was going to be able to get answers. So Detective Brian Martin is on Jamie's side. He's like, let's do this. And the first thing they do is they track Abby down. Abby is brought in for an interview. She's in the interrogation room, and Abby is a mess. Abby is crying really hard in this interview, and she does keep saying, I never saw a weapon, and that is why this is so hard for me. She would love to be able to say that she saw exactly what happened, but since she didn't actually see a weapon or actually see Holly stab Stacy, she can't do anything. She can't lie, and the police believe her. Next, they bring Brandon in, and Brandon is saying to them, I wish I saw more. The detective says that Brandon was actually very remorseful, and he also says, I do not recall seeing a knife. So Abby and Brandon are not given any more details than what they already gave 17 years ago. But Detective Martin finds Holly Boisvert. He tracks her down next, and she is living in Wisconsin. He goes to her door. There is footage of this. There's a body cam footage of the moment that he ends up meeting Holly Boisvert. So she takes a real long time to answer the door, and he says that when she did answer, she was really pale. And he tells her, hey, my name's Detective Brian Martin. I am working on a cold case. And Holly says to him, while they're sitting there in her living room talking, she says, nothing makes sense about the whole thing. And Detective Martin is like, how so? And she said, everybody there. We were all friends. I want to play for you a section of the footage from when Detective Brian meets Holly. And this is, I know a lot of this audio sounds a little hard to understand. This is all from the TV show Mean Girls. And now this was actually from season one. It's episode one. This is Detective Brian Martin speaking to Holly Boisvert 17 years later.
So I know everybody says that I did something to her. I know that they blame me. I would not have done that to her intentionally. I never would have pulled a knife on her. We were terrible bitches to each other, but she was still my friend. I didn't expect that we were gonna fight.
Do you recall, did you have your pocket knife with you that day?
I didn't even have it with me. Like, if it was there, it was in my bag. It's not like I would walk around holding it.
Have you seen it recently? Do you have it now?
And yes, she did have it now. You can see Holly in the video kind of sigh, stand up, walk into another room, come back out, hand the detective her high school pocket knife. Detective Brian Martin was like, is this girl kidding around with me right now? Is she just caught in a moment of weakness? He said those are the two thoughts that ran through his head when she actually handed him the weapon, or the supposed weapon, from 2002. They do a DNA test on Holly's knife, and they can't find anything. They don't find any evidence on the knife. The chief pathologist, Scott Wagner, reviewed the knife and the photos, and he says that this knife is consistent with Stacy's wounds. On March 25th, 2020, Holly Boisvert was taken into custody, and a star witness is going to come forward, Amanda Richards. Amanda Richards says that the night they were all driving in the car, it was Amanda, Holly, and Whitney. She said that Holly always had a knife on her, and that night of the party, she definitely had the knife. Amanda knows that Holly had the knife because while the three girls, Whitney, Amanda, and Holly, were driving around that night, Holly had asked Amanda to hold her knife for her. She had put it in her purse and was holding it for Holly. At that point, Holly had received a phone call about Brandon having a party, and the girls were like, I don't want to go to Brandon's party. Amanda and Whitney were like, hell no, why would we do that? And Holly's like, well, I want to go. So Whitney is driving, and Whitney says, okay, fine, I'll drop you off at that party, but Amanda and I are taking off, and we're going to go to a different party. They agree with Holly that Holly will text them when she's ready to leave, and if she doesn't text them, then Whitney's just going to drive over to Brandon's and pick her up. That's the plan. So Amanda tells the police that when they arrived at Brandon's house, Holly said, I want my knife back. And Amanda took the knife out of her pocket, out of her pocketbook, and gave it to Holly. At this point, Holly is offered a plea deal, and Holly admits that she did, in fact, stab Stacy on the night of August 15th, 2002. Holly states, yes, I did kill Stacy. Yes, I had a knife in my hand. They asked her how she would like to plead, and she said guilty. Holly Boisvert was sentenced on January 14th, 2022. She was sentenced to 25 years with 5 years suspended. Once released, Holly would then spend 3 years on adult probation. She could be out as early as 2030. Detective Brian was quoted as saying, to me, closure is quite frankly bullshit. I say that because I don't know how you can have a loved one taken in a violent manner for no reason at all and wrap your brain around how or why that happened. Stacy's cousin, Jamie McMillan, was allowed to speak in court, and she shared her feelings about the grief of losing her cousin. Jamie said, I didn't know if we would ever see this day. We continue to push harder and harder, you know? Thank goodness that we had a great detective on the case and we managed to pick it up and roll with it. It was something that we've waited a long time to hear her say that she actually truly did it. After her signing, the plea deal was the first area where she actually was willing to sign off stating that she did in fact do it. So now we are here today and finally getting the closure that we needed. Jamie is amazing. Jamie is so amazing. This whole case could have just stayed cold if Jamie didn't come forward. And once again, just like the love of family, never giving up, never letting go. Losing your life over something so ridiculous. A boy? You were fighting over a boy, Holly? When you watch the ID Channel episode Mean Girls Season 1, Episode 1, they start the episode with a quote from one of my all-time favorite, if not my actual favorite movie, Heathers. They start with a conversation between Veronica Sawyer and JD, where Veronica says, I just killed my best friend. And JD says, and your worst enemy. And Veronica says, same difference. That quote was very fitting for this episode. I think that another quote is also very fitting from the movie Heathers. Veronica Sawyer says, dear diary, my teen angst bullshit now has a body count. And that's exactly what it was. It was teen angst bullshit. Stacy lost her life because Holly just needed to be the queen bee. You know, the prize was Brandon, and Holly was going to get that prize. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Residue. I hope I will see you back here again next Tuesday. And if you could be so kind as to maybe leave a review, leave a 5-star review, or maybe just follow me on Instagram at Residue Podcast or Facebook at Residue, a true crime podcast. Or the best thing would be if you could just share my show with your friends. Let me know how you dig it. You can also email me at residuepodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. If you have any stories or cases that you want to hear, let me know. And I will see everyone again next Tuesday. And don't forget to stay safe and stay paranoid.